PlayStation 4 day is here. I never believed it would come, but it's here, and I'm gonna get the games, all the great game.
Resident Crash Bandicoot, Guitaru Man 2, and Mr. Mosquito Extreme Remix.
Warhawk, Starhawk, all of the hawks, I'm gonna buy
hawk,
them.
Hawk, it's a game where you fly on a hawk's back and fight with other hawks until you're extinct.
Also, getting Pepsi Man, that's right, it plays imports. Sony does what Nintendo don't.
Kingdom Hearts 4 and Final Fantasy 15 or 16. Which one is real and which is fake?
Last Guardian, it's installed when it comes. It's already there. Surprise. Love, Kaz. The Sony faithful have been rewarded. Your PS4 turns into a spaceship that takes you to heaven.
But only if you've never owned an Xbox.
It knows. It knows.
Everyone left on Earth will be devoured by Don Matrick. And consumed in his fiery belly.
Don Matrick's fiery belly is where they're keeping the new Shenmue game. Surprise, it plays that too. PS4.
Nintendo president Satoru Iwata is Kirk Cameron in this Left Behind example that we've put together. Follow him to redemption. Mario on PS4 confirmed.
Justin McElroy, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Chris Plant, and I know the best thing of the week.
This is the Besties, where we talk about the latest and greatest in sports, news, entertainment, music, movies, sports, scarves, hats, gloves, food, and culture. But this week, we're going to delve into video games.
Lot to talk about, I feel like. It's a lot to talk about related to the PlayStation, and that's why we're not going to talk really about any of that stuff.
Here's the situation. If you're really curious about the PlayStation, like super, super curious, we happen to have a review that we wrote about the PlayStation 4. We also happen to have a ton of written reviews about the games on the PlayStation 4, and if that's not enough, we have 12 hours of goddamn live show footage, so do your research and don't come to us looking for PlayStation 4 information. You already got it.
It's also there. There's a stream with like 50 stories in it from the launch event earlier this week in New York City. There's a sickening amount of content about this one subject, so go engorge yourself.
Make yourself thick with the stories of PlayStation 4.
Tumescent
with our content. We're going to talk about other stuff that's not PlayStation 4 right now. Because it's our show. We can do whatever we want to. We're tired of talking about PS4. It's great. It's here. Last Guardian, pre-installed. Go get yours now. It's just $400.
It really wasn't worth the wait, to be honest.
Wow. What?
Wow.
It didn't hold up. I thought it'd be a lot better.
Have you soured on it like overnight? What happened?
No, the big surprise. I mean, I thought that the cat dog thing was going to be with us like through the whole game, but like when he dies in like the first 15 minutes, that was pretty.
Oh, you're talking about Last Guardian.
Okay,
Guardian.
You're talking about this Last Guardian goof and not the PlayStation. Jesus Christ, Russ.
I'd like to talk about a little game that I played this week. It's not really a game so much as it is a downloadable game chunk. Let's get the title right. BioShock Infinite: Burial at Sea, Part 1.
Okay, so before we delve in, what are we going to say? This is going to be relatively spoiler-free, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, because I plan on
playing. The good news is I don't know. I don't understand what happened in it, so likely to spoil it for you. It's not high.
We're back in Rapture, right?
We've been sucked back into Rapture. You're playing as Booker DeWitt yet again, but seems to be a different perhaps different version of Booker than we have met previously.
From the ultimate fiction, right?
Right, from the ultimate continuity.
This isn't the amazing Booker. This is the ultimate Booker.
There's also another Elizabeth, maybe she's different, we don't know. Basically, this is a world where Booker DeWitt lives in Rapture, and the game is sort of a fusion of the two play styles. For example, you don't just hold two weapons this time, you hold all your weapons and can cycle between them at will, which is a godsend. And
it's just something that should have been in the...
It just should have been in the original game.
Yeah.
There is a... the Vigors are back, but once again, they're called Plasmids.
Do they work
the same?
Because
you're in Rapture. Yeah, I mean, they're the exact same. There is one new weapon. There's one new Plasmid. And there's some new gear. But there's a freezing Plasmid, and then there's a weapon that superheats enemies.
Okay.
So...
Wait, they didn't have those before?
I thought they had
those. Isn't that called fire?
I thought that there was a freezing plasma too, but there is not.
There was in the original BioShock, though.
Yes, correct.
Right. There was a freezing plasma. There was not a freezing vigor.
Right, exactly.
So now there's a... great.
So this is still a vigor, but they call it a plasmid because we're in Rapture.
Right. So, okay, follow-up question. Do they explain the magic slugs that gave everyone magic powers?
So here's the thing. It is set on the day of the revolution in Rapture, which, as we all know, is December 31st, 1958, the day before the events of BioShock take place.
Right.
So
wait, what?
Yeah.
15 days before my father's first birthday.
Right. I thought BioShock took place like well after this revolution happened.
No, not well after. I think it was like a year after. I think it was 1960 was when BioShock took place, when the plane crashed and you were like in the BioShock land.
Right. It's the day before the revolution, which is a year before.
Right. It's confusing. Essentially what you're saying is when the game begins, Rapture's sort of doing pretty good. Everyone's
right,
having a good time.
A New Year's party.
Yeah, actually, it's the best thing about the DLC is for the first 15 minutes, you are in Rapture before the fall.
At the height.
At its zenith. And it is amazing. I mean, it's gorgeous to look at. Like, you're so used to seeing Rapture sort of post...
Dilapidated,
you know, everything crumbling. And to see it sort of at its zenith and to see it full of life and people... is really fantastic.
And that's funny because that was like the absolute best part of BioShock Infinite was that first 15 minutes.
That's what I was going to ask. Does it like BioShock Infinite, does it continue to be nice until like the first time you rip somebody's spine out of their asshole?
Yes. For story reasons, after the first 15 minutes where you have an actual like, there's a mission, there's a fetch quest. And after the first 15 minutes, you're shoved into a corner of Rapture that has been abandoned, and it looks just like BioShock then. It doesn't look like this new, brave take on Rapture. It's just like it's dilapidated and worn down. And
we should mention
it feels
that, like,
very familiar in that regard.
Pre-revolution areas were not – I mean, they were pretty looking. They weren't nice. They were still, like, super racist and super, like, not nice to people. So I wouldn't call them, like, utopias, per se. They just were, like, not effed up from a people
pulling
stuff
up. It's sort of the same way that BioShock Infinite was. Like, everything was nice, but it had this veneer of, like, oh, man, these guys hate black people.
Yeah.
And I think that that's, like, and it's,
there's some crazy progressive shit, though, in Burial at Sea, right? Aren't there, like, a bunch of, like, same-sex couples and, like...
And interracial couples and stuff like that. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like it's a place where everybody is free to do whatever they want, but the cracks of that are already starting to show by the
1950s,
time.
1950s, baby. Do what you want.
Well, under the sea, apparently.
Under the sea.
If you're in the ocean.
Way ahead of time.
Someone always has to be the janitor, you know?
Think about it. So it, I mean, it's a lot tougher to make believable people and to let you be in a world with believable people. So, I mean, it's not that surprising that you don't keep doing that. But why you do it is it is really great. Once it settles into familiar rhythms, it you know, feels like BioShock. It's weird because the fights are actually on a sort of a smaller scale than in Infinite. You don't normally take on.
Be fucking hard for them to get much larger.
Right, you don't murder enemy armies of cops. It's usually like a handful of slicers that you have to deal with in a certain room. There are a couple of sky hooks where you can attach sea and hooks. Swing around. What?
Sea hooks.
Actually, air grabbers. That's what they are called.
But you're where's in this the time. Air?
This that sounds like a joke. It's not.
Water wings.
It's called an air grabber in this reality.
I like water wings.
That which is I mean maybe that's why they changed the name in Rapture. I don't know.
It but they essentially they don't obviously these aren't underwater. They're like really big rooms essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
These cables. Yeah. Okay.
And for me, Rapture is always going to be a lot more interesting than Columbia. I mean, I think that the whole idea of being underwater and always having that right below the surface, or right, you know, beneath the surface is really interesting. The problem I have is not, I mean, and the combat stuff is just fine. I mean, they're not changing that much. The problem I have is that the story, and again, I'm not going to speak to specifics, but the story is sort of vaguely hinted at, you know, sort of some sort of Lostian nudging towards weirdness where you think, wow, there's something weird going on here.
With the and slugs?
No slug related activity. It's little sister centric.
Without like ruining anything, like how much does it tie into the bizarreness of the ending of Infinite? Like how much does it flirt with, you know, all of the metaphysical shit that happens?
Again, without ruining the actual what actually happens, I will say this. I said this in the review. Once you open up the possibility of multiple worlds and alternate dimensions and parallel realities, from a narrative perspective, it's very hard to put that genie back in the bottle. Yeah. So when things are weird and if you'll pardon the crudeness, when shit is fucked up and weird, you kind of default assume like, well, it's, you know, parallel realities.
Yeah,
sure. Right. It was all a dream thing. Like, well, that you have this way of writing off, like, well, they can do whatever the fuck they want. Nothing has to make sense because this could be the ice cream dimension where everything's made of ice cream.
In the last 30 seconds, they dump an insane amount of narrative on you and try to, like, construct some sort of story, and then it's over. And the whole thing takes... I played it twice. I took 2 hours the first time because I was really soaking it all in. You could finish it in an hour if you wanted to push through, which I mean you wouldn't want to. The environment sort of half the fun of the thing.
Hate to be that guy, but what's that price tag?
Well, here's the thing, and again, didn't talk about this in the review because I don't think it's germane to a review to talk about this, but it is $15 to get this DLC. And if you got the season pass, it's $20, which makes it a bit more palatable. But if you just want this content, is $15. And then there's a part two, which I'm assuming will also be that same price. So if the trend continues, you will for the entire Burial at Sea saga, you will pay $30 for around 4 hours.
I mean that's not. I don't think we should make any sort of qualitative statement based on the price to hour long ratio, because I paid $20 for Gone Home and it was fucking incredible and I beat it in an hour and a half. Like, I think the bigger issue is that you're paying $30 for 4 hours of something that is a little bit disappointing.
If I was paying $15 for 2 hours of walking around in pristine Rapture and doing things in that world, that would be one thing. But the fact that this sort of brings you to standard BioShock after is so quickly, and then just it feels like, you know, like BioShock. You know, you get a plasma and you get a gun, you shoot people, which isn't bad inherently. It's just like, well, you didn't really make. I mean, it takes me 2 hours to finish it, but it's not like I'm doing 2 hours of new things. It's just more shoot, shoot, and magic hands.
I just don't get it. Like, they've presented it in, well, I get it from a business standpoint, but from a creative standpoint, they gave themselves essentially, literally infinite options for making a unique twist on a story that we've already seen, and twisting it and, like, adding variables, and instead of, like, I mean, I know it sounds silly, but, like, instead of Ice Cream World, we get a place that we've already been in. And that seems like that's a big disappointment.
And it really does, honestly. And that's the biggest disappointment I have, I think, is that, you know, it head fakes towards sort of a noir approach. And that's really in the first 2 minutes when you're in Booker's office that has sort of that noir feel. It is not represented throughout the entirety of the game. And then almost as quick as that's over, I mean, you're in what basically feels like fan fiction, you know? It feels like, well, what if Booker was the one in Rapture? Like, I don't know. I don't really care, but I guess if you're going to tell me. It's just not moving things forward in a way that's particularly interesting or worth your time. Money aside.
I think what really bums me out about both Bioshock and Bioshock Infinite, not Bioshock 2, oddly enough, is that both the original and Infinite cop out of any narrative, basically the need to actually finish anything. They just create endings where a trick explains away everything, and it, you know, strips away all real impact.
I liked the ending I got for the original Bioshock. Happy ending.
Oh, well, I'm not even talking about that ending. I think the big twist in it is great. And the reason it works is not because it works as a story. It works as, like, a comment on video games. And that's very interesting. But after that, once you realize, like, basically, oh, everything, it's fate. It was, like, going to happen. And there's nothing to control.
I would say that.
It takes all the stakes out. And Infinite goes one further. And that basically fate doesn't matter. And you know what? Stakes don't matter because really anything could happen. So, you know, maybe it works here, maybe it doesn't.
But that
whatever.
Does slight the impressiveness of the world creation aspect, which is really, I would say, where the quote-unquote story is most interesting. It's like, how did this thing come about?
Yeah, I think it's really easy to write a first act if you don't have to worry about a third act. And I think that is what, like, a lot of television shows that people get pissy about have gotten away with. People are always like, it was so amazing, and I just don't know how they didn't pull it off. Well, they didn't pull it off because they were free to do whatever the hell they wanted without having to worry about tying it up. It's not hard to write something that is really crazy, but it doesn't end. But, like, actually, you know, having something that starts somewhere and ends somewhere else, that's the tough part.
Do you think they can tie it up, Druce, in Chapter 2?
That's the weirdest thing. At the end of this episode, I was thinking, well, okay, that all seems crazy, and I don't really know what's happening, but I guess I'll find out. And who knows when it'll be? I mean, who knows when the next episode will come out? It feels like an absolute, like, slam on the brakes moment for the story, and just when it's actually starting to go anywhere.
So they should have just waited and released them together.
That would have been vastly preferable, I think.
Gotta get that cash. Expensive to make.
And again, I wouldn't say this in review, but I would speculate here on this show. It feels like it ends because they didn't build the next room. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this room's as far as we built, so let's end the story here. Let's just put a bookmark in it and rush the rest of the story out so we can have some sort of forward momentum. I don't know. I didn't hate it. I think it's interesting, and it's great to be back in that world, and you see some neat Rapture stuff that that obviously you haven't seen before. It's just without seeing the second half, it's really hard to say what they're doing. I mean, I don't know. And who knows? Maybe there'll be egg on my face. And it'll turn out to be Brillo at the end, but it's not there right now. And the fact that they're charging for it right now, you know, makes me kind of put that, well, maybe it gets great thing out of my mind, because you could pay for just this and you might die tomorrow. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not
saying. And meanwhile, we've seen a really impactful, super awesome story take place in Bioshock World in an hour and a half in Minerva's Den. Like, that was start and stop.
Man, I gotta play that shit, don't I? That is all anyone talks about.
That and Bioshock 2. Bioshock 2 is
Bioshock 2 is also really good.
Bioshock 2 is surprisingly good. It actually is weird, and I don't think it gets enough credit for this. It manages to set itself apart from Bioshock by being about literally the opposite thing that Bioshock is about. Bioshock 2 is this bizarre story about, like, family and love and that kind of stuff that has no place in the world of Bioshock 1. And it really doesn't get enough credit for that. It's a
lot more subtle. I think people were expecting, like, the mind-blowing twist that Bioshock 1 had and didn't give the story itself enough credit. And I would also say it's a big gameplay improvement from Bioshock 1. They improved just about every facet of the gameplay. So play Bioshock 2, play Minerva's Den. Both of them are really
good. Also, pretty much every great indie game coming out for the next year and a half is from developers who
worked on
left
that
project.
Yep. Truth.
Let's move on, because we just spent like 45 minutes on that.
Felt that way, but I don't know.
It's a good discussion.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I'll go next as a palate cleanser. I don't have a ton to say about this game, but, you know, given the fact that, like, for the last week, my entire life has been PS4 prep for the live show and the review and all sorts of, like, logistical nightmarish stuff that I don't want to think about. I've used a palate cleanser in the form of a little game called Rayman Fiesta Run, I believe it's called. Something like that. Rayman Fiesta something. I think it's Run.
That's it. No, it's Rayman Fiesta Run.
Awesome. It is a sequel to Rayman Jungle Run, which came out on iOS and I believe Android about, I want to say, a year or so ago. That original game was really, really good. And this game doesn't really change the formula too much. It's essentially a lot of, like, pre-made levels and using tap controls to guide Rayman through these levels. You don't have to worry about, like, running him, directing him, really. You're just worried about, like, jumping and punching. So the touch controls really don't get in the way. The graphics are as good as the console graphics because they're, like, hand-drawn and super simple. You don't need, like, a huge...
It's still on UbiArt Engine, right?
Yeah, still using the same engine. And, you know, I found that I enjoyed it more than I did playing Legends because, well, for a few reasons. One, Legends had those levels that I really hated with the little flying guy. And two, it's just like such, like, the best parts of Legends are when you're sprinting away from something and every jump matters and a single miss sends you back to the beginning of the level. So it just, you get in this flow of platforming. And these mobile games, these Rayman mobile games, really just focus in on that one element and do an amazingly good job of, like, well-paced, thoughtful platforming levels that just, like, work on an iPhone, work on an iPad. I tried it out on the iPad Mini Retina. Holy crap.
Them shits looking tight.
Amazing.
Papa do want one of those.
You know, they're basically nowhere to be found. They're really hard to get, but... I was using the one that The Verge got, and it is damn slick. I really would recommend it. Pretty much anyone, if you play iOS games, it's one of the slickest games that I've played in a while on iOS, and I really like it. So,
well, two quick Ray-Ban updates also, because we talked about this on the show before. The PlayStation Vita version of Rayman Legends is getting an update, I think, next week to get those invasion levels.
Oh, great.
So our long national nightmare is also over. Speaking of invasion levels, update number 2, I have gotten perfect scores on every one of them on the Wii U version. So I don't want to brag, but I managed to get all three of the little dudes from every
Griffin, there's no achievements on Wii U, so what's the point?
You know what? Sometimes I do it for me. Sometimes
love the
achievement's inside, in my heart.
You got game, Griffin.
I do that game. Man, I'm not even kidding. That game probably in my top 3 right now for 013.
Maybe it's because I played it on Vita and those touch levels were, like, so infuriating on Vita.
That's what I tried to fucking tell you.
Yeah, but
I was in
South Dakota. I didn't have options.
it's just so crazy to me to think of, like, if they're bringing it to PlayStation 4... and they're bringing it to Xbox One, and unless they get, like, Smart Glass and PlayStation App functionality on it, like, why would you do that? Why would you fucking play it like that?
I would just want to play the platforming levels. Just make those other levels optional.
But the other levels are like the reason the fucking game exists. Like some of those levels are super, super tight. Like one player has to use the stylus to like dig a tunnel for the other person to run through and like avoid shit. Like it's so good and it's so clever and it's so unlike anything else. It's not this like shitty gimmick. It's a really fucking well designed thing. And I haven't even played it on the other platforms. I don't know how it would work on the other platforms. Have you guys tried it? Like, has anyone else tried it?
I hope it doesn't have the AI that's in the single player levels, because that's
fucking terrible.
Is that you shouldn't? Yeah, I mean and so if it's up to me, and I see that the AI is awful, I would, if I'm Ubisoft, I say, okay, we have this series of levels that's co-op only. It's not part of the main campaign, and you can play when you have a buddy over. You play those levels.
They are part of the main campaign.
You don't have to worry about them.
I don't know how they're... What do you mean they're not part of the main campaign?
They shouldn't be more... I'm saying they shouldn't have been part of the main campaign if they essentially can only be fun if you have a buddy over.
It just would have been crazy to think... I don't know. Do they even have the music levels in those versions of the game?
Yeah, the music levels are in the Vita version. Yeah, and those are amazing.
Right, but you don't do the thing where you tap on the stuff and the beat to the music, like...
Well, you jump in the beat to the music.
Right, but then the player on the touchscreen, like, taps the little buttons that appear across the screen to, like, get extra points and shit and beat with the music.
Yeah,
this is what I'm saying. Like, why would you fucking buy that game? It's so.
I was in South Dakota.
No, I'm not. I'm saying more colloquially. Like, it's still crazy to me. Like, at first, I didn't get all the gamer rage when they brought it to other platforms, but now it's like all those other platforms are clearly so inferior.
Yeah,
I just
inferior to what?
To the Wii U version.
Hmm.
Yeah,
for the first time, maybe ever.
For the first time ever, also. We'll get to Nintendo stuff later. Let's do it at halftime.
Halftime.
Great halftime, guys. Let's take it back to the show.
So the PS4 came out today.
Talk about it.
That's halftime.
It's not today. It's tomorrow.
You have to have a good. You streamed for 12 hours yesterday, Russ. You have to have some juicy behind the scenes stories.
What is the one thing about the PlayStation 4, the one neat thing that nobody knows about yet?
I cannot imagine there's a single button, a single servo of that system that was not explored yesterday.
Title that has been pretty much been under the radar called Knack. That's like a platform.
Can we talk about motherfucking Wobblegate? It's literally killing me.
What is this Wobblegate?
Okay. When you press down on one side of the system, the PlayStation
there's that bulge.
Wobbles.
Is that what you mean?
There's the rubber stopper that goes across the... Well, it's not the middle. There's two legs on one side and then a rubber stopper like two-thirds of the way in the center of the other side. So if you press down on that extra one-third, the system wobbles.
No way.
And the internet is up in fucking arms about it.
I haven't seen a single wobble on those. I'll have to go back and check, but like, I've been using PS4s for the last week, and I have not noticed them wobble.
Oh, do you want to know why? Because you haven't been like just fucking DJing on top of it. Like, what are you guys talking about? It makes me so angry. Like, if you touch it, it moves. If you touch most things, they move.
Well, but I get like the concern because like if a disc is spinning and the console moves, it could F up the disc.
Why are you fucking why are you fucking pressing down on the top of the console when your shit's on?
Who started this? Who was like a weeble wobble, weeble wobble?
I think Giant Bomb did a stream where they touched one side of the system and it wobbled. Somebody made a GIF and then like everyone exploded because it wobbles. It's like...
Okay, serious question. Do you think I should run right now? There's a PS4 in the other room. Should I run and test it?
Go get it and bring it
back.
Go
get it.
Okay, I'll come right back.
No.
Don't get it. Just go wobble it. This is like...
It's got to be on the air. I want to hear the wobble. Unless I hear
it,
I won't
know. It's already out the door.
I won't know how pronounced it is.
When was the last time you guys touched one of your game consoles and didn't just turn it on remotely?
Yesterday when I was giving my 360 the old heave-ho. Come on, you poor little soldier. No more waiting 30 seconds for you to boot up.
Little Jitter learns to fly.
It just doesn't make sense to me. Doesn't make sense to me, the wobble. Who gives a fuck? Of all the things.
Hey, I have a serious halftime quandary for you guys.
Guys, it wobbles. It fucking
How
wobbles.
How bad is it?
Sorry, it wobbles, guys.
Russ, how bad is it? Should I cancel my pre-order?
I think now might be the best time, to be honest. I know it's still shipping, but that stuff wobbles.
This is a serious question. We got a PS4 coming out tomorrow, today, as you're listening to this. Xbox One a week after. I think everybody on the show is getting at least one of them, right?
I got that PS4 coming tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So what is your guys' succession plan for the old consoles? Like, what are you doing?
Oh, God. I'm probably just going to walk my old consoles over to Housing Works, which is like a donate old things you don't want to see ever again.
What are you talking about?
That's crazy. The thing is, you can't get rid of either of them because they're not backwards compatible.
Right.
So you've got to keep them.
Okay, so I'll clarify that. I, in my brain, cannot think of maybe Journey. But for the most part, there's not really a PS3 game that I really want to go back and replay ever again.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I could see maybe the Uncharted games one.
No, I like the Uncharted.
Also, those are going to come with HD versions. I'm sure.
I like the Uncharted games, but like I no desire to go back and replay them. Last of Us, loved Last of Us. No desire to go back and replay it.
Little Big Planet. Yeah, Little Big Planet 2.
That's a good theme song. Yeah. So. I don't know yet. I definitely have to keep my 360 around because I already started with Bioshock and the DLC there. And then also...
We can play Dark Souls 2 on.
Also, yeah, Dark Souls and... What is the...
I'm fucking saying Dark Souls 2.
What about it?
I'm saying there's shits for these two consoles that hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, that's coming to next gen, though. I'll wait until next gen.
No, it's not. What are you talking about?
It'll come to next gen. I just announced it.
You're dropping some lies.
No, I have no actual information. But you don't think Dark Souls 2 is going to come to next-gen consoles ever? That would be the dumbest thing I can imagine.
I don't think they're concerned with that.
I feel that way about Xbox, though, too. I don't know what I would... I'm not a big one for replaying games. Once I finish them, I pretty much
What about the Telltale series? I'm playing... I already started it on Xbox. I got to finish it on Xbox.
Okay, that's not a bad point. I do have to finish Wolf Among Us on the 360.
And that's Walking Dead 2, assuming that your decisions carry over, which they should. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. When you start playing that fucking series, you're like, I am signing myself up to this shit for life.
Wouldn't they be able to pull that, though, from... I mean,
this is Telltale we're talking about. It's not exactly a technically savvy company.
No.
Yeah. I mean, they make good stories, but...
No, but you turn on fucking, like, chapter 6, and it's like, both of Lee's legs are gone. What the fuck happened? I didn't cut his legs off. You cut Lee's legs off. He'll remember that. Like, I don't remember that.
Griffin, I'll never forget. How could you do this to me?
How could you do this to me at the end of the last controversial chapter? Like, I didn't. I made you get on the train, not under it. God damn it, Lee. Say nothing. Stay under the train. Fuck.
Remain motionless. Do not crouch.
Who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
Yeah, do it. I'm excited for yours.
In case you didn't see it, on our site this morning, as in the morning that you're actually listening to this.
Friday.
The best game of this year, 2013, is coming to PC, but also PlayStation 4, sometime at the end of January or early February.
Well, that's soon?
Yeah. And that game is Towerfall.
Towerfall.
Now,
did you say it's coming to PS4 at the end of January too?
Yeah, they're coming at the same time, and I think that's going to be huge because now people will actually play the best game of this year, and it's a shame because it'll be next year.
Yeah,
but it's a bigger, better version of the game. It's called Towerfall Ascension, and it has more levels, more characters, a lot more levels, and way more options for how you set up your matches. If you don't know what Towerfall is, it's a 2-4 player local multiplayer game where you're in these 2D arenas.
No, too complicated. It's essentially like a much faster one-shot kill Smash Brothers.
Yeah, using bow and arrows, and it's 2D.
Bam.
Sounds pretty tight, man. This is the kind of thing that I'm super psyched for on PlayStation 4, and they announced a lot of these games at Gamescom, and a few have come out recently, and apparently one came out today with Towerfall, but like Samurai Gun is very much, I feel like, in the same vein. That's coming very to PlayStation similar, yeah. 4. All the Sports Friends games, like, I'm going to get down on some fucking indie competitive four-player games like this.
Well, we are in the office here in New York, have a dedication to Towerfall like no other game that has come through this office. We have ranked matches, tournaments, brackets.
We have different leagues, actually, in different box offices between New York and D.C.
Really?
And also different leagues within certain cities. Like, we play a certain rule type that the production team league doesn't play. They're a lesser league.
Let's talk about this. When I interviewed Shuhei Yoshida, the president of Worldwide Studios,
sure.
at Gamescom this year, and I talked to him, I think the day after the Sony press conference, which I don't know if you guys remember, was like the best fucking press conference ever.
Yeah, it was like
that's when they announced that there was no DRM, the price was lower, all these fucking indie games. And I asked him, because I sort of said, like, it's kind of looking like the first party lineup is going to be a little bit weak at launch, which it by all accounts is. What are the odds that an indie game could be the killer app for this console? And he, like, you know, sort of laughed and said, well, there's some really fucking good indie games out there, and we have a lot of them coming to the console. And I said, it's not impossible, because it happened with the Ouya, because I would say 50 to 60% of the people who bought Ouya did it to play Towerfall. I think you guys have called it a $100 Towerfall arcade yes. machine.
Yeah.
And he sort of evaded the answer, because I think maybe the ball was rolling at that point. Like, do you guys think do you think that this could shit like Towerfall could be like a system seller for PlayStation?
There are two things. One, I don't think he answered that because he doesn't want to throw all his AAA developers under the bus, because, you know, they think they are that, and I think they hope they are, and maybe they are for some people. Towerfall is, in my honest, and I'm not exaggerating when I say it's the game of the year. It will be. I cannot see a game now that is going to be better than it.
Yeah, the thing about Towerfall that I cannot say about any other game that I've played this year
or
is
in a number of years.
Every single match, every single minute, I'm having an enjoyable time. There's no downtime. Even when I'm getting crushed, it's still like a fun experience. And I literally have not played a multiplayer game. I can't think of a local multiplayer game where I felt and still feel that enthusiastic about playing it.
I mean, we put at least 100 hours into it each individually. And at this point, last night, after that live stream, we came upstairs.
We were exhausted.
Still played like another half hour.
The video guys hadn't slept in 2 days. And what did we want to do the second the live stream ended? Is get in a few rounds of Towerfall to end the night. Like, that's how we feel about this game. And it is a real bummer, because I think a lot of people won't have the opportunity to play it until early next year. But damn, man.
Yeah, I think what could also help them is having something like that, and if Sports Friends really catches on, local multiplayer is a thing that can really help push hardware and push things like your controllers and stuff.
Well, I don't... Move controller sales might have increased, but I don't think they, like, went through the roof.
Sure, but I'm saying, like, normal controllers
sure.
For Sports Friends. If you want to play any of the Sports Friends games, you'll need more than one controller.
Sure, that's true.
So I just think, I don't know if they'll be huge sellers, but I think they'll help both the system a lot, you know, in terms of just getting people who are already, maybe already own it, more engaged with it and buying more hardware for it.
And I'm going to buy, I have two controllers. I'll have two controllers when I get it tomorrow. I'll probably buy a couple more if it means four-player Towerfall.
I'll be really honest with you. I was ready to give my pre-order to a family member who is in desperate need of a PS4, and I still might do it just because I really want to help him out. But the thing that is making me want to have a PS4 around is Towerfall at this point. Otherwise, there's nothing on it. I mean, I have the privilege of having already played Resogun for the review, but otherwise, I there's nothing that is, you know, the killer app for me just yet.
Well, but it's funny because your question to Shuhei was essentially, is an indie the killer app? And guess what? It is. It's Resogun, because it's the only game that's essentially, like, really worth playing. It's thankfully free if you have PlayStation Plus, but because of the anemic
AAA I made this point on Twitter yesterday, though. Like, if you are fucking upset because we didn't give Killzone an especially high score. Like, you're lying to yourself. Like, I didn't know so many people liked Killzone this much.
I don't know.
Among Sony exclusive shooters, it's not the best franchise. Like, you're crazy. What the reason that everybody got so fucking excited in August with the Gamescom thing was free games through PlayStation Plus and a huge slate of indie titles, and that's exactly what it delivered at launch. Like,
yeah.
That's exactly what happened. Wait, it's not that surprising how things are turning out.
It actually, a lot of those missed launch.
But like, there's some cool, like Tiny Brains looks fucking fun. That's coming out in a week. There's a lot of stuff that's coming out very soon, and there's going to be this sustained flow of indie titles. A lot of it, which are going to get the PlayStation Plus treatment. Like, Don't Starve is coming to PlayStation Plus. I think early next year it's going to be free through PlayStation Plus. Binding of Isaac Rebirth is coming. It's going to be free through PlayStation Plus. Like, this is the dope. This is what makes me excited about PlayStation 4, and it's the reason I'm psyched to get one tomorrow. Not for fucking Knack. Like, nobody was ever excited about Knack. Sorry.
Also, talking about possible like killer app things. Man, Don't Starve and Binding of Isaac are
That's like 500 hours. 500 hours I would sink into. I'll probably play them on Vita, to be honest. But, I mean, yeah, on PS4, they'll also be really good.
Let's move on, because I feel like there's a guy that we're all leaving out this week and arguably next week, and that's old the Big N. That's old Mario and Samus and Link. I wanted to talk about just sort of a catch-up on what Nintendo's up to, just give you guys a rundown, because you probably missed the Nintendo Direct yesterday.
Oh, right. I forgot you even hadn't even started your point yet. That was such a long segue.
So here's the thing. This week, tomorrow PlayStation 4 comes out. Next week, Xbox One comes out. Let's not sleep on Nintendo, though, because they got some shit coming out next Friday.
Sorry, I don't want to jump in.
No.
Like, I've actually played Zelda.
Link Between Worlds?
The embargo lifted, but it's out next week. So maybe I should just save it until next week, my thoughts.
Yeah. I don't know what you thought about it, but it is getting fucking sick reviews.
It's tremendous.
It's getting fucking incredible. Like, it's been a while since I've seen a portable game get this like, across the board tens.
It's easily my favorite Zelda since Wind Waker, and maybe better than Wind Waker.
That's crazy town to me. I'm worried it's gonna get fucking killed, though. Like, I'm worried about it. I'm worried about Tearaway, because
there's no 3DS kill rap this holiday season apart from Pokemon. So I think it'll do well. The 3DS, install base will buy it. I don't think it's gonna get killed. Tearaway, on the other hand, will probably get killed.
Tearaway is gonna get destroyed, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's coming out on Friday. New Mario Party's coming out on Friday. I don't know anything about that.
Wow.
I don't either.
It's got Bravely Default coming in February, which looks pretty tight. I know you guys aren't really RPG folks, but it's got some shit that looks pretty tight.
Those are
finally
two words that don't really make sense together.
No. Well, hi, Square Enix. they've got Professor Layton coming in February. I know you all are all on the seat of your seat for that. Mm-hmm. They are finally combining 3DS and Wii U eShop balances.
Yeah, that's insane that they haven't done that yet.
It's kind of crazy that they haven't done that yet, but that's finally happening. Miiverse is going to be on 3DS. I know you guys were waiting on that.
Yeah. I do like drawings of Mario. So.
Also, what's up next Friday? It's Super Mario 3D World. No big deal. It's coming out on the
22nd. Is embargo lifted on that yet?
No.
No, not yet. Have you played it a whole bunch?
We'll talk about it next week.
They had this trailer, which, if you haven't watched it, go watch it. It's crazy how much shit is in that game. It's crazy how fun that game looks. There's a unlockable Luigi Brothers mode, which is the original Mario Brothers, only you play as two Luigis instead of Mario and Luigi. It's pretty great.
Yep.
Nintendo's not out of ideas.
Nintendo's not out of it, guys.
What about,
I don't know.
Waluigi?
It's this stark contrast between like all these fucking arguments that have been happening this week and will likely persist into next week.
About what you mean next year?
Well, we're specifically like in the heat of it. It's been a while since we've gotten like fucking angry emails from fanboys with the fieriness and quantity that we've gotten this week. Like, I have not missed that shit at all. So, like, this fucking console war is picking back up again.
Someone's
which I don't know who these fucking people are. because it's like, it's 2013. Everybody has an Xbox 360 and a PlayStation 3. We've talked about this before. Like, it, unless these are like fucking 34-year-old dudes who the battle lines are still drawn from the last war and they just haven't gotten over it yet. Because kids have this shit, or kids are playing like Angry Birds Star Wars. Yeah. On their Android devices.
Can I just say, someone suggested that I stick an Xbox controller up my bottom because I thought the frame rate in the Xbox One version of Call of Duty was smoother than the PlayStation 4 Call of Duty. This is what we're dealing with.
It's fucking, it's getting into fucking crazy town. And to like take a step back and look at what Nintendo's up to is frankly like super refreshing. Because next Friday they have two super stellar looking first party titles coming out to two different platforms. It's like they're not even in the same fight as Sony and Microsoft are.
I said it earlier, I think on different besties, but I think the odds are very, very high that the two best games that will come out this season will not be on next gen consoles.
Nope. Or,
well, I guess what do we want to call the Wii U now? The mid gen?
No, I think it's current.
Yeah, next, current
it's, it'll be current
it's as
gen
powerful
as
like a 360.
No, but I think I God, this is weird. I haven't thought about this before.
Yeah. Well,
in the hierarchy
coming out
though,
Xbox One or PS3 or anything.
It is, I mean, here's the fact. It is part of the seventh generation of consoles.
That's fair.
That the Xbox One and PS4 are part of
so
is just
the current generation.
Severely underpowered, yeah.
Well, underpowered in what respect? Like it's got a second screen though.
Teraflops, y'all.
It's underpowered in the sense that it isn't.
That's what I'm saying. Like it can't do so many P's and it can't do 60 frames. Like that's what I'm saying. Like, doesn't give a fuck. Here's 4-player Mario. Have fun, kids. Oh. Have kids come around. Let's play this game. It's just it's me, your dad. I'm a dad in this example.
Mm-hmm.
Pick it up. Let's street pass our links and fight them against each other in a Zelda adventure. Ah, Call of Duty, it doesn't have... Shh, pick this up. Let's get some coins, though. Put on this cat suit. Let's just have a fucking good time together. Like we used to.
Remember how we used to?
What happened to our hearts?
Like a family.
I'm not saying that it's not important, the pixels and the frame rates. It's obviously very important. But like I've been saying for like 3 weeks now, like Nintendo's strength in this current generation is starting to become more and more apparent, and that is that it is not trying to fuck with that. It wants you to have a fun 4-player Mario time with me.
And I'm just gotta find your Wii U. If you can complete that challenge, look under every couch, find that tablet.
You're hating.
Do you know what's great about the Wii U? Like now that
Rayman Legends,
Mario, or all these other things coming out for it, is that they deprived us of a decent looking game, starring their characters for so long. Then now you see, like, Mario or any character in HD, and you're like, thank God, oh my gosh, this looks amazing. Just because you're used to seeing that crappy Wii stuff on your HD TV for so long.
And you know what? Also, we joke about the Wii U being underpowered, but, I mean...
It doesn't look bad.
The Delta will certainly get bigger, but right now, that gulf between the two is not as noticeable as you might think. And that's looking at several of the next gen title, the new gen titles, I guess. Will it be next gen? I mean,
it'll be current gen next Friday.
Next Friday will be current gen. Okay.
Here's the thing: graphics don't make for art design, and that is
a
real problem of all these launch games. Is the art design on Nintendo products look a hell of a lot better than most of the things that are coming out on these new consoles?
Thank you so much for listening to our show, The Besties. We hope you've had fun listening to it. There is a literal, not a literal, but there's a figurative boatload of stuff on Polygon.com about the PlayStation 4, about Big N, about let's turn this Besties podcast into like a wildly pro Nintendo, like definite bias zone. What do you guys think about that? Just keep clinging. Site has lots of great stuff. Polygon.com. There's a video review. There's a PlayStation 4 review that's gorgeous, which I can say because I didn't help on it make it. And there is so much good stuff there. Go check it out. Make sure you join us again next Friday for the Besties. The Besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best things? Yeah.
Steve.